Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
Today's first scripture comes from Psalm 121. I raise my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God won't let your foot slip. Your protector won't fall asleep on the job. No, Israel's protector never sleeps or rests. The Lord is your protector. The Lord is your shade right beside you. The sun won't strike you during the day, neither will the moon at night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. God will protect your very life. The Lord will protect you on your journeys, whether going or coming, from now until forever from now. The second scripture comes from Matthew 17:1-9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them to the top of a very high mountain. He was transformed in front of them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Jesus. Peter reacted to all of this by saying to Jesus, "Lord, it's good that we're here. If you want, I'll make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, look, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I dearly love. I am very pleased with him. Listen to him." Hearing this, the disciples fell on their faces, filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anybody about the vision until the human one is raised from the dead."
Pray with me, would you? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts find themselves acceptable in your sight. May those of us who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. May this be your will, for you are our strength and our Redeemer, and it is in your name we pray. Amen. If you are new to us and you are interested in following the notes for this message and for the other series that we have, you can do so by looking at your bulletin. There is an app we use called Bible.com, and it gives you instructions on how to get those. It's live. So the notes for this series and this particular sermon are on there right now if you go live, and you can have those for you. You can follow me. I hope to give you some tools to be teachable for the living of God's will. All right, let's get into this. We are in a series as we are in the process of Lent. Lent is that 40-day cycle of time which Christ goes into his final stage of preparation before his death and his resurrection. And we are experiencing through these lectionary scriptures what it means to be disciplined in the role of living as a person bound by both the blessings and the burdens of being one who follows Jesus. It is the truth of the text that what we discover in these scriptures is that we often do not have opportunity or chance to evolve in different ways or even excuse ourselves from the process of living this out. The truth be told, God gives us assignment, we go forth, and we discover over time what it really means to be faithful, full, and true. Last week, We talked about what it meant to be bound to forgiveness. Bound to forgiveness. And we began this journey talking about what that meant for Jesus and others through the cycle that the Council of Churches gives us called the lectionary. Many of you will not care, but it will be helpful for you to know what I'm talking about. The lectionary is a series of scriptures over a three-year period, year A, year B, year C, in which Christ uses the church and the leaders to give us specific scriptures for each week of each year of each day, that we might grow in our faith and know our knowledge. We're in year A this year, and year A gives us this scripture verse. In fact, three of them that we'll focus on today. One from Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 8, that we have not talked about, and I will spend some time, but we will not read. Second one, Psalm 121, which is the psalmist's writings. And the third, Matthew 17. Verses 1 through 9. Got a question as we move forward. What do soon-to-be newborn parents in their 70s, a priest, writing a desert text and a pilgrim hymn in the middle of his journey for corporate and personal protection, and three disciples who see the most surprising moment of their lives on top of a mountain have in common? Anybody? They all discover in these moments of their lives, as well as we do in our lives at times, that we are given through our experiences of being both blessed and burdened the role of being bound to trust. Whether you know it or not, you are bound to trust in the best days of your lives and the most difficult days of your lives. You are bound to the process of trust. Friend Jeff Colligan said to me one day, he said, all we have is trust. I think he's right. So, now that we know from last week that we're bound to the process of forgiveness, what do we do with trust? In fact, how do we understand and accept trust? I want to offer this today. That we seek acceptance and understanding of trust when we discover the fulfillment of our quest is never in a location, but rather when we've built and nurtured relationship primarily with God. The psalmist writes this, what I've already told you, as a pilgrim hymn, as a song from his heart to provide the balm that he needs to be both bound and blessed by being God's child and the burden of being responsible to live as God's child. The psalmist proclaims that he is bound to trust someone and not something. Let me pause here and tell you, the longer you live, the more you discover that you really do need the central relationship with your Creator known as God, and you will discover that you need to find ways more and more to be bound to God. This is hard to find sometimes, isn't it? Especially in those most difficult moment of days when you wondering where is God in the midst of a strident time? How about in these days where we're looking for security and sustainable living and sufficiency of health and all other kind of matters as we sit as a corporate world? The lection or the disciplinary scriptures this week display characters for our viewing that are challenged to carry the blessing and burden of what it means to be bound, to trust in God. Abraham and Sarah, remember I mentioned them a moment ago, Genesis 12, 1 through 8, in their work of parenting, the first child of promise, were not previously prepared for the process of learning how to trust. And the burden of being called to being the father of many nations to return righteousness made Abraham the trustee of trust of the building block that would cause many to follow. Psalm 121, you heard it ably read by Ms. Grippy. She reminded us in her reading that the psalmist is one who has taken trust in the Lord to a hallmark level, and it leads to seeking higher heights of hope. The disciples, those three that we discovered on Matthew 17, verse 1 through 9, at the Mount of Transfiguration, for those of you who are theological scholars, we're not going to have a fight about where it is. It's on one of those mountains, Tabor or the other. It's just there. But what we can say is that on that mountain, which is now known as the one of Transfiguration, they are asked and invite and they seek the initiation of the full truth and trust of God Emmanuel, who has come to save them. So here's the question with everything I've said. Why, if you got the answer to trust, why if you got that answer to calm the fears of people and to quell their concerns, why wouldn't you tell somebody about it? Anybody understand that? I've struggled with that all week. If you know you got the answer in your hands to struggling with trust so you can calm your fears and charm your doubts, why in the world wouldn't you give somebody the answer to trust? Why would you hold it? Why would Jesus, of all people, think about this. Jesus has the answer, and he says in verse 8, don't tell anybody that I am he. Why would you do that to people? I want to offer this suggestion of an answer. Because God knows all truth. Boy, that's not comforting, but it's what it is. And because God knows all truth, God's work in our lives is the work of making us bound to both the blessings and the burdens of trusting God when only you can see him. You ever been in a moment where you were down to nothing and couldn't find your way out, and still God had to help you discover how you could trust him when you were the only one who could see him? Couldn't make heads or tails of the moment, but God somehow in the mystery of the moment called you to look up above the mountains from whence your help cometh and look to God, even though you couldn't understand what you were looking at. I want to offer this to you. If you're like me, you feel like Peter did in that moment. Let's go build you some marks of history that people might know who you are. Let's go do that and make you glorious. And Jesus says, don't tell anybody. You feel like me when you finally got the answer. You know who he is? You're Peter at the crossroad of trust and truth. You don't know which way to go. I told you every week I'd ask you this question. I'm going to ask this one too. Here it is. What's next? What's next when you get to the crossroad of trust and truth? And here's what's next. You got to consider the question, am I willing to trust God for the next part of the road? Whether it's your best day or your worst day, my question to you is, are you willing to trust God for the rest of the road that is before you? Do you believe that you're to cross the intersection of trust and truth, even if the light reads yellow? Pause here for a pregnant moment, just of God's grace. Here's what I want to say to you. Some of you who are at that moment, that intersection of trust and truth, and you've got a yellow sign that's saying caution. Take some time. Don't be so quick to jump at it. But consider it. And make sure that you understand at some point the light's going to turn green and you're going to have to go. That said, I want to offer you 6 things that will help you in your faith as you discover you're both bound to God and bound to trust in what it means. The text helps us. Let me get to them very quickly and let you go. Number 1, being bound to trust means, first, raising your trust up to God. Raising your trust up to God. Remember Psalm 21? I look to the hills from whence cometh, King James language, I can't get it out of me. I look to the hills from whence come my help comes from the Lord. Matthew 17, verse 1, the text says that these disciples who are following Jesus, who, by the way, Peter just told in chapter 16, verses 1 through 9, he just told him, I know who you are. You are the Christ. You are the one who said, he says, shh, don't tell anybody in verse 16 too. But in verse 17, once they get up there and Jesus says, I'm going to show you who you are, they have to go to the mountain. Here's the point. When you raise your trust to God, God doesn't say to you, go get some more before you meet me up at the top of the mountain. God says, bring to me the trust you have today. Whatever you've got in your gut and strength, bring it to me today, and I'll work with what you got. Don't hold back on me. Just bring me as broken or as blessed as you are, what you've got, and trust in me, and I'll do the rest. Or in the words of Carrie Underwood, or whoever wrote the song, I'll take the wheel. I've got to tell you, the mountain moment is important for you because it is at the mountain where you begin to build a greater sense of trust. Number two, taking your trust to God to be transformed means being bound. You know you're bound when you take your trust to God to be transformed. See, it's not enough just to take your trust somewhere and just do nothing with it. You got to come with a level of expectation that God will take whatever trust you have for whatever situations are going on and do something with it. Just in case you've forgotten the text, verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 21, I lift up my head to the Lord, from whence cometh my help. If you get there, expect something. If you're believing for God's, do something with it. Have an expectation in your heart that God will change or transform the situation for his good. Now, this is a tough scripture to get through. I couldn't really get through it earlier, but I will tell you it now. Romans 8, all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and who are called according to their purpose. You got to trust God. You just got to trust God with the moment. Number three, being bound to trust as we learn it in the scriptures. These three texts that have given it to us for this week to consider and be disciplined by means trusting God when you can only see him in the situation. Do me a favor. Say this phrase, when only you can see him. Ready? Let's go. When only you can see him. The Mountain of Transfiguration, these three disciples who have followed Jesus for 3.5 years are left with a query kind of position they must take. They must either decide at the moment where only three of them have actualized the fullness of who God is in Jesus Christ as this glorious light shines about him. They either have to decide he is everything he has finally shared with him he is, or he's none of it. And when they do, they have to go and worship him. Go read verses 7 and 8. But at the end of verse 8, notice they lift up their heads and look toward him with this light shining at him. Point, Troy. What's your point? Here it is. If you read the text carefully, Moses and Elijah are gone at this point. The two Old Testament figureheads are gone. Jesus is the completion, the trinity of this faith leadership process. And when Jesus shows himself alone, he is the one that they have been waiting on. Don't you forget, this is the Matthean text or the Matthew text. And if you ever learn anything about the book of Matthew, please hear this, that the book of Matthew is written to Jewish Christians who are looking for the fulfillment of the Messiah. Jesus comes, he's shown out of the three that are the Old and New Testament. He's the only one left. They lift their heads and they say it is him. In fact, verse 8 says it better than I do. Hear it what it says right now. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Let me say something to you. There will be moments in your journey of learning how to trust God more that when you see Jesus, there will be no one else but Jesus. You will have days where you will see Jesus and wonder, do you need new eyeglasses? Because you're not really sure it is him. And there will be other moments where you'll see Jesus and you'll know Jesus, and that is Jesus, but you will not want to see Jesus. Has there been anybody here at a hospital or even when you looked at your bank account or something else where you saw Jesus but you didn't want to see Jesus because the Jesus you saw was not the Jesus you really wanted at that time? But that's Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you got to get off your knees. You just got to go. In fact, help me here. Someone is waiting on a little bit of encouragement today. They'll need this. They will make a step that you won't believe they'll make if you'll just tell them this. Look at somebody who's near you and just tell them, go. Do it. Right now, just say it. Go. I know you don't believe that'll help somebody, but believe me, somebody in here just needed to hear go. You don't believe me, but the 12 disciples at the end of Matthew chapter 28, they heard Jesus say one word that absolutely changed the entire landscape of the society we live in. He said to them, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I will be with you until the end of the age. And it literally changed the whole world on two letters. Go. Number four, being bound to trust means that you hear and then you heed God's call to seek the shade. Verse 5 says that he is our shade at the night when it is highest of heat in the day. The Lord is your protector and he will shade you. Can I say something to you? God will let you get to the place where you'll wonder if God is there at all, and God will remind you in his miraculous and loving ways that while it is hot, he is still your protector. He is your shade and your comforter, your grace and your peace. What do they do as a response to this? Matthew 17 says that those who discover that God is that good worship God. You want more shade? Worship God. You want more grace? Worship God. You want more peace? Worship God. You want more ability to withstand the strident times? Worship God. Number 5, being bound to trust means letting the Lord protect you. 5 times in Psalm 121, the Lord is our protector, both corporately and individually. In Matthew 17, the Lord protects them from themselves. He says, shh, don't tell anybody I'm him. Why would you tell people not to tell them? Here's why. Remember, the text says, verse 8, Matthew 17, until the human one has come. Sometimes people are too quick to believe the divine and not see the divine work through the human. Sometimes they're not looking to see Jesus for Jesus. Sometimes they're looking to see Jesus through you. Some people need to see Jesus through you. Some people need to see that God can work with a broken and fractured person like you and I. And if you do that work, even when the sun is hot, God can do miraculous things in spite of us. As a final point I want to make, being bound to trust means constant confession. Oh, verse 9, Matthew 17 says this. Don't tell anybody about the vision until the human one is raised from the dead. Here's my point. Jesus says, I'm going to be raised, so don't worry about things. Chill out until I'm raised. But once I'm raised, go at it. And when they find that he's been raised from the dead, they can't keep their mouth shut. When you have discovered that Jesus, even when others doubt, Jesus is the one that was resurrected not only for others but for you, you can't keep your mouth shut about the goodness of the Lord. It is impossible for you to doubt his promise and his gift. Henry Nouwen, the French theologian who many of us have studied for literally years, I got his devotion today. He's gone to be with the Lord, but his foundation still gives it. It came to me this morning. I couldn't help but add it into the sermon. Here it is. The end quote says this: you know that you are living a grateful life when whatever happens is received as an invitation to deepen your heart, to strengthen your love, to broaden your hope. You are living a grateful life when something is taken away from you that you thought was so important, and you find yourself willing to say, maybe I'm being invited into a deeper way of living. Final thought, then we'll pray. Being bound and being in bondage are two different things. The psalmist completely commands his soul to put all his belief in the sovereign will of God and the Lord's promise to him. Peter does this well. He does it very well. We're called to be like Peter's, to walk where the crossroad of trust and truth meet. But please hear me. When you get there this week or today or this month, for some of you, the cross of trust and truth has led you to consider whether you'll accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. For others, it is, will you go and follow, even though it is most difficult at this hour? Wherever you find yourself at the intersection of trust and truth, hear this. Please don't stop there. Take the next step. Please don't stop there. Take the next step. Walk down Trust Avenue, and the truth will see you all the way to the end of the road. Will you pray with me? God, through the ministry of your word, we pray that we would learn how to trust you more. So as we've now heard your text, some of us are considering Christ, some of us are considering calls in our lives to do this, that, and so. Give us the faith that our trust will come to bear fruit. We are bound to you because you are a God that keeps blessing us. And we are bound to the burden of not letting ourselves lean on our own understanding, but on yours, and in all your way acknowledge you. So give us the strength to do so, and may our lives glorify you. This we give thanks for in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Respond to God as we worship this day.